Silence. Silence in the court. Silence in the court. The court of cyber is in session. Today, in a world where digital identity is as important as your passport, how well do you really understand it? From human identities to machine accounts, privileged access, and the explosion of AI-driven automation, the security landscape is evolving faster than ever. Cybercriminals know this, and they're exploiting it. In this episode, we have Bartek Krinsky from CyberArk, who joins us to break down identity security fundamentals, why machine identities are the next big security frontier, and what businesses and individuals must do to stay ahead. If you think identity theft is just about stolen passwords, then think again. I am Ronnie Janholt from NeverHack, and let's start. But we cannot start. We cannot start because we have one important thing to say to you. You like this episode? Then like it on the portal or wherever you are reading or getting this this link to. Press like, press follow, press comment. Tell your friends, your family, and your pets that cybersecurity is really, really important, and make them listen to the show. Also, if you want something to be presented here, talked about, then yeah, leave a comment or write us to cybercast@neverhack.com. So, hello, Bartek.
Hi, Ronnie.
Who are you?
I'm Bartek. Pleasure to be here. My name is Bartek Krinsky. I'm solutions engineering team leader at CyberArk, working with identity security projects for almost 10 years now. And I'm in a security area for almost 20 years. So yeah, it's a pleasure to be here with you.
So you have been in the business for 10 years. Yeah. That's mighty long time.
It is, and it's evolving a lot. And what you said is really true, that attackers are using identities more and more. So it's super exciting times now from the identity security perspective. Yeah. We need to protect identities as much as it's possible.
But how do we define digital identity today?
Yeah, from the digital identity perspective, it's like the set attributes that can identify Ronnie, can identify Bartek in the internet with the different applications. So in my opinion, identity, digital identity nowadays is as important or even more important than your physical identity. I mean, physical, like how you can authenticate yourself. You have some ID, you have passport. The same you need to have in the internet. So you need to prove that it's Ronnie who is getting to the business application, governmental application, or to some entertaining service like, you know, Netflix or another Facebook, Instagram, or another application you would like to use.
Mm-hmm. So yes, coming back to kind of like emphasize how important that is that, you know, the basics of that is that when you access a system, a service like Netflix you just mentioned, then you are using some kind of credentials, you know, username, password to enter there. And after you have put those in place and you get access to the service, then the service knows that it's you. So when you do something on that service that is in violation to, I don't know, whatever you do there, the blame is on you. And then you have to prove that it wasn't actually you. So that's the kind of basics of it. And I know a case where there was this bookkeeper. There was bookkeeper, and using the bookkeeper's account, something was made on the system. Some transaction was made on the system. And if that guy wouldn't have been on an exam on that day, at that time when that change was kind of made on the system, well, he could have been fired or worse.
Of course. So yeah, security, by the definition, there are these three A's in the security, aren't they? The authentication, authorization, and accounting. And all of these three in regards to identity security are very important nowadays to cover. No matter if we are talking about the business or if we are talking about our personal life.
Mm-hmm. So where are those identities defined? What attributes may be used to prove our identity?
So from the definition perspective, it's all about the system you are getting to. It can be in the Active Directory or another directory service in the company. If we are talking about some web service, in many cases we are using identity providers, which could be also some known systems like, you know, Google, Gmail, it can be Facebook or something else. But in the end of the day, the target system, the service provider, must understand that it's Ronnie who is getting into, no matter if it's about only the credential which is used by Ronnie or if there is more sophisticated method used for the authentication. So now it's about the zero trust. So I think the zero trust model, that we shouldn't trust only passwords, is very important to prove the identity. This is why in many circumstances, companies or systems, they are using something called MFA, multi-factor authentication. It means that not only passwords are involved, but something else to prove it's you. What factors can we use? It can be something you know, like the password mentioned, or some, you know, security question or another question. It may be something you have, maybe mobile application that you will approve, deny some session to happen. It might be somebody you are, like proving your biometry by face ID scan, fingerprint, or another methods like voice recognition, for example, to prove identity. So it's important to combine these methods to minimize the risk that compromising one of these factors will compromise your access and your identity in the end of the day. So I think there are two strategies of using this, these attributes. One, like decentralized, that you have many accounts, Ronnie, probably. To Facebook, one to Gmail, one to another portal in the environment, different secrets. The question will be how we manage these secrets. Mm-hmm. Passwords, this is really old authentication method, probably more than 50 years old already. So maybe it's a good time to change it and not use it anymore. But still, we are using it very often. So people, either they are generating secure passwords and storing them somewhere, you know, typing them securely or in the less secure method with a notepad, Excel, or some application. Or they are using the same password, like, you know, ABC123 or something similar, just to remember it and to reuse it in a different system. So guess which method is more secure.
Yeah. So it is. You know the story that the guy who kind of not invented, but made the initial recommendation of password length and complexity, mm-hmm. An old guy now, came out and said he's sorry.
Should be. Should be, I think, because no matter if you are using the same passwords or different passwords or different systems, there are so many methods to fetch these secrets from you. This is why we implement different methods of authentication. For instance, we have also in Estonia, you have this Estonian ID, right? To get to the different governmental systems.
Yes.
How does it work?
Well, it works. You have a card. Mm-hmm. You have a certificate issued from government, let's say. And then you use that card and you have your pins to get the certificates out from the card for a session of authentication or a signature.
So because it's something physical, it's much harder to be compromised, isn't
it?
Because somebody needs to physically take it or in more sophisticated way get through the software somehow to the card and compromise the certificate.
Yes.
This is why I believe that from identity security side, unification is a key. It's better to have this multi-factor authentication properly implemented with maybe physical card and certificate inside than having these small ideas of having different passwords in the different systems, because sooner or later they will be compromised because it's so easy to compromise the credentials nowadays. It's so easy to get passwords from the user and use it from mm-hmm. another place in the world.
So, do you have some examples from your own experience?
Well, of course. Not from myself experience, but from my neighborhood. A lot of these examples how identity might be taken, how identity might be compromised. From the personal side, every day we hear about these social engineering campaigns that they are calling. I have a lot of messages in the iMessage, for example, that they are my investment group. There is the link to the system. I can authenticate there by providing my credentials and then some magic will happen. I have my money back from the investment, which I haven't taken. So I heard a lot of these unfortunate stories that, for example, money has been taken from the bank account because somebody called that they are from the bank. They need to reset the account password. So provide this password to the consultant who is on the line. And unfortunately, the money earned for entire life that they were taken from the account. So this is one point that you can lose your money. It's also about your reputation. So if somebody is compromising your identity and is getting, for example, to some social portals like, you know, Instagram or Facebook, so this is especially risky for teenagers nowadays, I think, because they are really focusing on this reputation, digital reputation. So in the era of AI, which probably we'll discuss later on, there's so many ways for this like black PR for the human being, you know, to change your picture, change your photo, to provide naked picture in the Instagram. And if something is in the internet, it's very difficult to cut it out. So,
yeah, it's there.
So the reputation is also the key. We can lose our access to the different governmental systems, of course. So if somebody will take your identity and you need to authenticate to some governmental institutions, so your access might be locked, basically. So I think this is less important problem than losing the money or encrypting the data on your workstation, but it's still there.
Yeah.
Ransomware campaigns. It's also, I think every day we hear about ransomwares, right? And encryption data, compromising the data. So this is also a very important topic, like the delivery of the ransomware, propagation of the ransomware software. And as I see from the statistics, which we'll discuss in a second, many ransomware campaigns, they are also starting from the compromising identity. So if we jump from this personal world into the business world, so in organizations, most of the attacks, if we are discussing in last years, we had so many attacks to ransomware in the different hospitals, universities. You remember the Uber breach, for example, the big one, which was a couple of years ago. So in all of these attacks, or in most of these attacks, very important role was on the identity of the one of the, for example, employees or the third parties. Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of a first place start.
Why? Because attackers want to have to do it as effectively as possible and as quickly as possible. So instead of writing this sophisticated malware, zero-day attacks, exploits, etc., it's easier maybe to call to Ronnie and say, hey, Ronnie, we are resetting your second factor of the authentication. And then attacker is grabbing your identity and just getting to the environment and somehow propagating in your environment.
Yes.
Maybe easier will be even to call, instead of calling Ronnie, will be to go to dark web and buy for $5 or $10, buy the password of Ronnie to the environment or the active session of Ronnie to the, I don't know, Azure system or some Salesforce or another application and potentially use it to get to the environment and propagate in this.
So it's the meme. I don't know if you've seen, but a meme where there are like two people discussing that we have this password, encrypted password here. Let's use the supercomputer. Yada 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 yada. And then you know, the last picture is that someone pulls out a wrench. And then just says, let's beat it out of him.
Exactly.
Much more simpler.
Just buy some hammer or something like that for $5 and hit once the person that they will give you the password.
Yes, yes. Much more simpler, yeah.
For sure.
But in the business environment, also the identities themselves divide somehow. So what are the, I don't know, human identities then? We can most probably we can, you know, put it into two broad categories, human identities and machine identities. Yep. Then how do the human identities divide? My user account and...
Mm-hmm. I think we can divide this in the business side. We can divide these identities to at least several groups from both sides about the risk, about what are the requirements, and also from the attacker side, who... you or me, if we are the attacker, if we would be the attacker, who would we like to attack in the environment? So obvious group is IT, technical people, because they have different privilege accesses to the databases, to the domain controllers. It can be this more like conventional IT in the data centers or somewhere in the clouds, because our environments are also changing. So this group, they have really privileged access. So if I were a hacker, I would love to have their identities and their accesses.
So basically, privileged access is elevated rights.
Yeah.
So this special group of people and engineers who manage and administer the systems. Mm-hmm. The loss of their identities is large impact for the
it's
the
game service. Over usually.
Game over, yeah.
Yeah. If I have access to the critical database in your environment or to the domain and I can create any other identity, usually it's the game over because sooner or later, from identity security perspective, I have access to entire environment in many cases. So this is the first group probably that attacker would love to target, but not only one. Because sometimes they don't have an access to them, but they have access to developers. So this is different technical group, but there is some small change because IT, usually they have access to the production data somehow through the database or another method. Developers, usually they are writing the code and having access maybe to the test environment. So on the one hand, it shouldn't be that critical, yeah, because there is no production data yet. Usually automation tools are grabbing this new code and providing it somehow to the production environment. But in the opposite side, they have access to the code. So it means that attacker can insight something in the code and then is delivered not only to your environment,
but your customers,
but other environments. Like you remember SolarWinds attack.
Yeah, yeah.
So the software might be propagated to hundreds of thousands of the different computers, companies worldwide. So then there is the risk that this attack will be like very serious. It usually these attacks are more sophisticated because this code must be hidden, not only against these scanning tools for the code, but later on the software, security software on the end customers, but might be much more effective because you can compromise, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands of the different systems worldwide.
All in all, in that kind of scenario, that SolarWinds just SolarWinds example is a good example.
It's perfect one.
So that is I don't know. It's a definition of clusterfuck. So yes,
it is.
Yeah,
for sure.
Can we go through the SolarWinds for a second for sure. Audience that is not aware. Can you please explain what happened? What was the impact of SolarWinds?
Of course, just to make it short. So what happened? So attacker got into the SolarWinds environment. They were able to add additional code into the new version of the software they were implementing. And through the update, this malicious code was propagated to the many institutions worldwide. So this is this supply chain attack, which you mentioned. And in many cases, it's not only about the third parties that are getting to the environment, but also kind of the fourth parties that we might have in the environment. So developers, this is the group for sure we should protect. But
yes.
I'm still focusing on the technical people, but we have another groups in the environment, yeah. Like workforce.
Workforce, yeah.
People who are not technical or are less technical, but doesn't mean they are not risky. I mean, they might have the important accesses through web portals, web applications, local applications or SaaS applications. Yeah, I had a discussion with one of the CISOs in Poland of the very big institution, and we implemented the PAM program. PAM means Privileged Access Management Program in their environment. So it was about isolating the technical people access in the environment. And very important point he said was, we are talking about all of the techie access, like SQL-based, SSH based, you know, the technical points. But me and another directors in the environment, we have only web access. But this only means if somebody is compromising my identity, is also game over in the environment because they have access to very sensitive data through the web portal. So what I say is that every identity in your environment might start to be privileged in some specific circumstances. And we need to protect all of them. Because in many cases, it happens during the attack that the first victim is somebody with the standard privileges, standard permissions, nothing unusual. But from this workstation, then the story begins. And the attack is propagated in the environment in the lateral way, you know, jumping between workstations or getting vertically to the different systems, which are not only in on-prem environment, but also in the clouds. So I think that my observation is that we live in super exciting times when thinking about identity security. We generated a kind of the report, which is called identity security threat landscape, which is for 2024. And we sent a survey to the more than 10,000 people in Europe in 8 countries, and we figure out that in last year, 93% of the companies experienced 2 or more identity security related attacks. Mm-hmm. So it's really a lot. It's almost all of the companies, they experienced the attack, which somehow was related to identity security. And almost all of them, it was 99%, suffered negative business impacts from this breach. So this is something really, really important. 83% of these people we were talking to, they are planning to move to 3 or more CSPs, so cloud service provider, in next 12 months. And in the same time, the number of the SaaS application is growing for around 88%. What does it mean? It means that some time ago, we had this data center, like our fortress, and we were building these blocks, the border, right? Yep. In the perimeter, like Castle. Firewall, IPS system, intrusion prevention, web application, firewall. It was quite effective. It's not effective anymore. Why? Because we have these clouds. We have, you know, infrastructure as a service. We have different business applications. So our data, they are spread through the network. So it's really now about identity. Why? Because if your identity will be taken, if you are using only password and your identity is taken, then potentially from identity security side, attacker is having direct access to Azure, to AWS, to GCP, to Salesforce, to Office 365, or another applications which we are using. So we need to remodel this architecture and really build it on the identity security. I'm not saying that identity security is only one area of the security, but it's really important nowadays. It was never as important as it is now.
As it is now, yes. So the right now we are discussing the human identities, and this can be counted by humans.
So yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But there is also a different category of identities, and with the influx also, machine AI is also helping. So the second big part is machine identity. What is machine identity? How to understand it?
Very, very good point, especially that, you know, years ago, the definition of identity was really about the human. Yeah, it was our behavior, it were our attributes about identity was really into the human. Nowadays, it's not like that anymore if we are talking about the digital identity. Mm-hmm. Why? Because this is the era of machines. So we are really in a kind of the Terminator world. Yes. With the Skynet or Ex Machina world, that there is a lot of identities in the environment. From our statistics, we do see that per one human, there is around 45 machine identities in the environment.
So one human and versus 45.
It's unfair, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's really unfair.
It is, yeah.
So, and from the statistics perspective, we see that around 50% of the organizations, they will have around 3 times, the number of identities will increase around 3 times per year. Mm-hmm. Because of machines.
So, but what is the machine identity? Where does it boil down to? How to understand it?
Sure. It's very simple. So I can prove my identity by providing this, you know, certificate, password, biometric authentication, or any other method. Every machine, we have many machines, different machines in the organization. You can have static application, you know, the portal that is connecting to the database to query something, to ask it for the data from the database. So this application must prove its identity by using some attributes. It cannot use biometric because it doesn't have the biometric, but must use some set of attributes to authenticate to the database. Usually it's password. Usually it's some SSH key, some token, or the certificate which it's having to prove the identity. So it can be static application. It can be something much more dynamic. Like nowadays, we have a lot of microservices. So if we are thinking about the evolution of the applications, years ago, there were not so many identities in the environment. Why? Because you had physical server, only there was the application. You had the physical database, and there was one connection between these applications.
A local connection.
So you had two identities. One was application, second one was database. To scale it, you needed to pay for additional hardware, software, so it was not that easy. through the years, we see that first we evolved to the virtual machines, but they were still a bit costly when we are thinking about the scalability. So now we have these ideas of containerization, having containers, very dynamic microservices inside. So instead of having one application connecting to one database, we have in the services like Netflix, like Apple TV, etc., you have hundreds of thousands of really dynamic microservices that must communicate, must talk to each other, and they must authenticate.
Yeah, they must authenticate. So this
is, it's not that easy anymore. This is why there are such projects like, you know, mesh services, Spiffy, and certificates. They are in use for so long. Certificate topic is really, really important. If we can jump to it just for a second about the machines.
Let's do.
If you have the passport and you need to go abroad, so how does the board control know that it's Ronnie who is leaving the country to go to Poland, for example?
They look at my passport.
Mm-hmm. And why they trust your passport?
Because it's made by my government.
Yeah, yes. Because there is the authority that generated it for you.
Yeah.
And the board control is trusting the authority which provided you the passport.
Yes.
So it's exactly the same if we are talking about the certificates. To get the certificate or renew the certificate, you must go to your authority for certificates. So something called certificate authority. It might be your local one or the cloud one, the public one. But you need to get there. You need to generate this certificate and then deliver it somewhere, for example, to this machine. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And then another machine is trusting it because it's trusting this certificate authority like the passport authority.
Yes.
So it's pretty similar idea. So to prove identities in this dynamic environment, in many cases, like something called TLS certificate or SSL certificate, they are in use. And it's great. But then the question is, how do I automate this process of maintaining certificates? This is one of the big challenges which we do see in the on the business side, in the big organizations. So, how to manage secrets,
yes,
and how to manage certificate in the efficient way.
Yeah, when certificate goes out of date, for example. So as those machine communication, encryption between those services relies on the certificate. And we need to change our passwords, and all of that. Then we also need to renew our certificates. Then we go to the trust authority and try to grab a fresh one. And yes, that might fail. Or I recall some kind of. Some kind of real world example where there was this airplane was grounded.
Yeah. Alaska airplane.
Ah, you have this. You told me about this.
Yeah,
please explain.
Yeah, so one of the airlines, it was Alaska Airlines, as far as I remember, the aircrafts were grounded. There were significant delays. So in the beginning, people thought that maybe it's because of the cyber attack. But in the end of the day, they figure out it was because some TLS certificates which were provided to the web services, they were expired.
Mm-hmm.
So if certificate expires, it's like with your passport. If you get to the
border,
to the border control and provide expired passwords, they will say, sorry, Ronnie, your yes. holidays are finished already and you need to go back to your authority. Yeah. It's exactly the same with the certificates. If we are talking about authentication, no matter if it's authentication between human and the machine or between machines. So this is why many companies, they have problems with the outages of the certificates because this number of machines is growing. We don't only have this like static web servers or some load balancer or security tools that are using the certificates, but a lot of communication between these dynamic services in the on-prem environment, local environment, or in the clouds, they are talking to each other with using certificates. So if the certificate is expired already, so you need to speed up, go quickly to your friends from mm-hmm. the PKI team, public key infrastructure team, please them to generate this certificate quickly, take this certificate, go into this specific system and manually inject, authenticate to this system, manually inject this certificate, maybe restart the service. it can take a while.
No. And you know, there are a number of those services. So this must happen in automated way.
It should happen in the automated way. This is why with our customers, we are talking a lot about automation. It's not only about reducing risk by using the identity security programs to build the proper zero trust model in the environment from the identity side, but also a very important point that we discuss a lot with customers is about the automation. So how to automate the process, unify also the processes of automating tasks related to secrets management for the secrets that generally are used by the different applications, but the same with the certificates. So what customers are willing to do now is to have the proper solution and the procedure to discover certificates, to monitor what is the usage of the certificates, what tools are using these certificates, to manage them, to ask, you know, your trusted CA, this certificate authority, for new certificates or renew them, but also to deliver them to this target system, static but also dynamic, like in the containerization stack, in the Kubernetes or in the OpenShift, and also in the cloud, of course, because as we mentioned, cloud is also some very important topic. So this
actually means that the this is not all one technology. This is we are speaking about a number of technologies that need to be integrated somehow, put together to form an automation of some sort. I believe there are a number of challenges there. How to do that?
There are for sure. I think that the number one challenge, if we revert to these statistics from the identity security threat landscape from CyberArk, I see that one of the biggest challenges is that in organizations, in almost all organizations, I think it was 93 or 95% of the organizations, they are working with more than 10 vendors related only to the topic of identity security. So we have this kind of the security islands in the environment. What does it mean is that you have one solution for multi-factor authentication in the place, in one space, for the VPN, something else. We have some small solution for the session recording. We are protecting some secrets with the open source tool. And you know, you are copying some local initiatives. And it means that there is no one real program about identity security, which is causing a lot of problems. There is no automation. It's really hard to combine these tools together and manage them together. And also about the accountability, there is no real visibility what is happening in the big environments that are in the area. This is why what I see as the big value for the customers we are talking to is the model in which we unify the vision. Doesn't mean that it must be one and only product in the environment, but the less products, the better here in this area. This is my belief. It's like with this authentication. Maybe it's better to have this Estonian ID properly secured and unify, integrated with the different institutions, instead of having 20 or 50 accounts with the different passwords, some weaker, some stronger, and believe that all of them are protected in the same way. So it may make sense to do it in the unified way.
So, but on the topic of machine identities, the rise of AI.
Yeah, buzzword AI.
Buzzword AI. What does it mean for the identity?
Wow.
Because in my mind, this is a really, really large topic.
It's one of the hottest, if not the hottest topic now in the security side, because AI is fantastic. It's helping us a lot, and we can love it and we should love it, but we should hate it in the same time. So there are a lot of pros of AI, a lot of cons of AI. From again, if I can refer to this report, we see that last year 99% of the companies, they adopted AI-powered tools. So everybody's using AI, basically, less or more. 95% expect the variety of negative cybersecurity impacts because of the AI. What AI, what can be negative impact. It's like with the different tools, we know drones, for example. Yeah, probably you have drone, yeah, and yep. play with it. Fantastic tool, isn't it? You can record the videos from your holidays, for example. There are some nice challenges about the drones, competitions, etc. It can be used for defense, yeah? If there are attacks, so drones can be used as the defense tool, but also can be used during the war as offensive tool or by criminals for the terrorist attacks by using, you know, some exploitation tools inside. It's exactly the same with the AI. It can be used with a fantastic way, but in the same time, by using models and the data AI is having access to, there are a lot of ways how AI might be used to get to the, for example, the customer environment, especially from the identity security side. So we can imagine, it's not only imagination, but AI is already used to automate some vulnerability exploitations. It can be used for social engineering techniques. Yeah, to make it more trustful for the end user. Yeah, that it's some bot, but really sophisticated bot that is calling you. It can even use the camera and the video where you see, maybe the graphic is not the best by the purpose, but you see the face of the people you person you trust. So it's even more effective because of this reason. You can use, with the AI, you can try to bypass these conventional security tools, or you can bypass AI models. So what might happen is that AI is having the private data of the company only available for this specific institution. So attackers may potentially try to ask proper questions to the AI and say, like, you know, you remember this phishing campaigns with the grandpa, that yeah, it's your child or your grandson that is calling you. So it's exactly the same for AI. Mm-hmm. Somebody, by providing proper query, might get access to the private data of the company.
Yeah, machine engineering, then machine social engineering.
Exactly. It's like new machine social engineering. But also, what is important are the deepfakes. Yeah, it's also happening more and more about the deepfakes, not about only the audio, but also video. Mm-hmm. So the question, how we can protect against this kind of the attacks which are related to deepfakes?
Yeah,
it's a very hot topic nowadays. It's not obvious.
It's so it's understandable that you would give an identity for those machines, for those agents, let's say.
On one hand, yeah, this is another machine, so another identities you need to confirm and protect. On the opposite side, it's more and more difficult to authenticate different machines and especially people, because the question is, if you really, if you don't overestimate your senses, if it's not that you hear I'm calling you, it's my voice, but in reality it's not,
yeah.
Or it's not my face. We see, like in many cases in YouTube or on other portals, this like deeply created videos with, you know, President of United States or another known person who is not there because this is artificial intelligence, yeah. With a great music. And this is publicly available. So imagine how sophisticated it might be if the another more sophisticated models are used by the attackers. Mm-hmm. They have the knowledge about how mm-hmm. to use it effectively. So the cyber attacks might be really effective by using this.
So in the sense of identity world, yeah, it's an explosion, because you need to, me as a citizen, I would really like to know if that person is actually that person on that video. So how you know, theoretically, how could I verify that? Because that would solve so many problems, right?
So first is, again, about our senses and about our feeling how effective we might be, but it's also about the detection tools. I see now a lot of startups that are built to identify these deepfakes about the audio, about the video. So it's, again, as with this example with the drones, yeah, attack and defend. It's as always with the security, yeah, like police and thieves, and we are just jumping who will be better and who will be faster. So it's exactly the same with AI. The question is, who will be faster and stronger? this offensive AI or defensive AI, which will be able to identify the deepfakes. And this is the area of the security that most of the vendors, they are investing a lot now with AI to help the security teams to identify abnormal behaviors, to identify these deepfakes. This is one of the really hot topics nowadays because this is the serious problem yes. that companies might have.
Yes, yes. And this is something that kind of escalates the speeds up the misinformation. And so this that's the reason why this is oh so very important. Also, when talking about the machines and talking about AI and agents and virtual assistants. So the way I feel it is that the future of the AI assistant is that you would authorize your assistant to some extent to represent me towards some services. Let's say a bank.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would do is that I would pick up my whatever machine I have. I would do a voice there or type there or whatever interface. I would say that, hey, please transfer, I don't know, 20 euros to Partec. And that machine, my assistant would then authorize
the transfer.
Authorize to transfer. And that would act as my assistant that I have authorized, I don't know, to some extent on my bank, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But the service can be whatever, right?
And then we have the next tier to be attacked, right? It's
yeah.
not only about attack on Ronnie
yeah.
to get your identity, but your assistant
yes.
compromise its identity to get
yes.
to the transaction yeah, or yeah. to do that transaction in a different system.
Yeah. So the world is very, very, very different from yesterday, right?
As I told you in the beginning, super exciting times from the security side, a lot to do, so a lot of topics to be discussed and a lot of topics to be focused on.
Mm-hmm.
But this is why I think this unified approach and having some vision, some good vision of identity security is really important. To build a plan about the steps that should be happen in the next weeks, months, or even years, mm-hmm. and really execute it, I think is only one way. It's not the time for this like small sand castles to be built by the security teams because the huge wave is coming and we should be ready for it.
Mm-hmm. Bartek, this has been a really, really interesting discussion. And I'm really, really hoping for you to come to the show more and talk more about this. And you, the listener here, you who you are hiking in a traffic jam, cycling, or just leisuring on the beach, please, no, it's not begging. I don't want to beg. Just put like on this show, comment. And if you want some topic to be discussed, then give a shout. Write to us, cybercast@neverhack.com, or by any means. My name is Ronnie. Find my identity and push a message towards me, right? So thank you, Bartek.
Thank you very much.
Until 2 weeks, another topic. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.